Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is March 3rd, 2017. It is Friday. Yay, happy day. I love Fridays. I think because everybody is happy because I'm not working at my job like before, and still there's something about today. And it's a good day for questions, I'll tell you that. And I got myself a few. It's interesting because sometimes when we do the Dream Theme show on Thursdays, there's like this theme. There's, you know, some kind of connective tissue between all of the dreams, or some of them at least, where it's maybe a different version of the same thought that people are having or facing. And I always think of the collective consciousness with that. Like, oh, you know, it's because we're all connected by this thread. And I thought, wow, you know, did I ever talk about the thread? Did I ever tell or talk about the part where there's this, like, it's almost like a golden thread that connects every single human being that is alive on Earth while they are all alive on Earth, and that we have this connective consciousness through that thread, and it is through the middle of our bodies from the belly button area all the way around everybody. And we are all connected. So if somebody on one side of the world has thoughts, it will reach the other side of the world. We are not here alone. We are not here without support. We are not here without anything. The only thing on Earth that we came here needing, that we need to stay alive, if we don't get it, we will die, is food and water. And air, obviously, air, food, and water. And all are in more abundance than we know. The factory didn't used to make foods. The earth makes enough food for everybody to eat. There's enough air for everybody to breathe. But we cannot live without those basic needs. Food, air, light, sleep. We can't. But everything we actually need is here. And I know that it's a big duh, like we all already know that. But we forget. We forget so much. And we've been taught to need so much that we don't. And the stuff that we actually need is looked at like, well, so what? Just breathe. We forgot about the miracle of breathing. We forgot about the miracle of just finding some food. You just go buy a box of something. The fact that it's in a box is killing us. Now everyone's starting to talk about it a lot more. I don't know if you guys have been hearing about it more, but I've been seeing so many things. There's so many ads. Everybody's really, really conscious of the fact that real food is our medicine. It's just our medicine. Whether we want it to be or not, doesn't matter. It's still just our medicine. It's just the truth. So all these things that are true, we have gone all the way around the block to get to the answer instead of just crossing the street. It was right there all the time. So today we have questions, and the connective tissue of today's questions is really all about truth. So my first question is from Liam, and Liam says, why has truth become an arm wrestle and not a handshake of late? Because, and this was written in Origins of Truth, it was published in 2007, but I was writing it from 2002, so let's say about 15 years ago, because in April 11th of this year, it will be 15 years that I've seen Christ. But the reason is at the time when I wrote the book, Christ said, everything is in gray right now. It's just in this gray area. It's not this. It's not that. Nobody really knows. Nobody really cares. Everyone's just rushing. And then we had the big page turner in all of our lives, in the world's life, and that was 9/11. And then a bunch of lies started pouring in, and then a bunch of people started questioning the lies. And we never do know the truth. We do not know it until today. But they figure if they can shut us up, shut us down, conquer and divide, tell us if we think of conspiracy theories, you're either with us or against us, and putting all this weird stuff out there, because it was weird. I don't care if it was true or not. I don't care what the bottom line is. I just know that whatever was floating around wasn't right. And people were trying to rest with it, trying to get on the bandwagon, but nobody really could 100%. And the ones that did didn't sound right because they were just carrying the lie. And I don't know which were the lies and which were the truth. I know what Christ told me, but I don't know which were the lies or the truth at that time. But I remember not wanting to hear anything because it didn't sound right. And that connective tissue that we have that connects us all, that little thread, the golden thread. People started saying, but that doesn't make sense. And all Christ told me about the entire event was this. Just ask yourself who benefits most from this act, and that will be your answer. Because Christ is so simple and so wise. But there's something huge Christ does that we don't even pay attention to. He doesn't answer our questions directly. He gives us the clue for us to use our minds, for us to figure out, for us to have that mystery. Otherwise, we're not interested enough to figure anything out. If everyone knew Christ's exact story down to every detail, nobody but nobody we talk about it. The fact that there are questions is what connects us to Christ and his information. The information doesn't change, but the personal questions, we don't know everything. Even people ask me, and I thought, oh, let me ask. And Christ would say, why is that important? Keep discussing it. I just kept discussing it, and then finally I realized, hey, you know what? That one, we're not supposed to know, because if we did, we would no longer have that interest because that curiosity would be satisfied, but that curiosity brings us to the knowledge. So I thought, wow, that's the way it really works. The question of President Kennedy. It immortalized him in a way that we really weren't sure how he died. I mean, we knew that they grabbed somebody and said, you did it, and the guy kept saying, we didn't. But, and then they shot him, you know, so it was just like you couldn't even argue the point. But now it all brings us back to truth. And truth is why has truth become an arm wrestle, not a handshake of late? It's always been an arm wrestle and probably will always be. But like I said, in Origins of Truth, it used to say there was going to be a lot of gray. We've lived in a gray area for a long time. But things will be more black and white. And right now, we are in the black and white. And we all see it. It's no way to deny that it has happened. You're either for this administration or against it. The ones for it are so for it and can't believe the ones that are against it. And the ones that are against it cannot believe the ones that are for it. And both perspectives, if you listen to either one, are great. They're literally great. But they're black and white. It's like flipping a coin. You're not both sides of the coin right now. None of us are. When everything happened, we all went into shock, even the people it was happening to. Because we are seeing a different energy. This is the energy of completion this year. Everything is coming out. We cannot complete any cycle without all of the cards, everything that's been hidden coming out. And this year we're seeing a lot of that. And God knows what's underneath what we're hearing. One way or the other, whether we love it or not, God knows what's underneath that. But that's for us to find out. That's for us to learn. That's for us to do. This almost had the ramifications of 9/11, where it galvanized people around the world. This is doing the same thing. Thank God it didn't have to come to us through a bombing of some sort. So the truth has always been an arm wrestle. But once in a while in our own personal lives, we may feel like it's a bigger arm wrestle than normal. I don't have to fight for the truth. The truth is there. I might expose the truth, and some people might resonate with it, and some people might tell me I'm crazy, and I got to deal with that, and fine. But the truth is always there. And so my next question that I have from Princess Leah is, hi, Nadia, how do we know when we told ourselves the truth? Now, she asked me this question a long time ago, and I don't think I saw it. And it was on my Nadia Khalil page, which unfortunately for me, I populate as much, and I'm trying to do it more now because of the way Facebook runs your business pages. And so I saw it this morning, and it was about the truth. I remember always say truth sets you free, but also how Christ once told you, tell the truth, and you thought you had, and you hadn't. Now, arm wrestling the truth with everything outside of you is one thing. Understanding and admitting and getting to your truth is another thing entirely. Because sometimes we protect ourselves so well that we tell ourselves things are true that maybe aren't. Like, people don't like me. People don't care about me. Who are these people? Why don't they all like you? Why don't they all care about you? People think I'm weird. Because when we start putting in our heads, adding information to the information we already feel maybe down or not that great, and then we try to look for proof to support it. I call it the supporting cast of fear, doubt, worry, control, and guilt. Once we know we're talking in that language, we know consciously that that isn't true. But we need to believe it to stay where we're at, to buy our story, to buy our depression, to buy our anger by saying it's true. Nobody cares about me. If I died, nobody would even know. Nobody would even care. All of that is your ego literally hurting you. The ego is fierce. It's far and it's wide when we allow it in. The minute we buy one of its stories, we start building a colony around that story. I can see it clearly now, but without Christ pointing out to me that some of the things you're saying in your head are not true. So stop saying them. Just stop saying them. And it was hard. Because that once a month time, when my hormones weren't me, I would fall into this slump. And I kind of liked it. And then when Christ said that to me, I said, oh, wait a minute. Put the brakes on. Why do I need to do that? It took me a while, a couple years of him constantly pointing out every time I thought I did clean up. He'd say, there's more, there's more, there's more. And I'm like, what more? There's more. Find it. To the point where I got to the baseline. It's always like that ground zero. And then the only way I know I've hit it is that Christ stops talking about it. We're not here to find out all the lies that we pay attention to. That's a different energy when you're searching for lies than it is when you're searching for truth. When you search for truth, you're calm, you're inquisitive, you're curious, you're active. Searching for truth has a whole different energy exchange than searching for the lies. When we find the people who are searching for the lies, let's say the conspiracy theorists, and we see that, I'm only calling them that because that's what they call them, and I fell into that category when I first found out all this stuff about our food and about politics. I was like, I had to go through that shock. But when you follow that and you start looking for the lies instead of the truth, you get nervous, you get anxious, you start fearing, doubting, worrying. It's like ego just opened its door far and wide and said, come on in, baby, I'm all yours. And on top of me being all yours, you're all mine. And you don't even know you walked in. And I did walk in that door. And I remember driving and saying to God, God, you are the strongest energy. The love that I feel is the strongest energy I have on earth to choose from. And I'm choosing that over anything else I hear. Anything else I hear. I got so worn out worrying. When I first found out about like the food and the and all these little things that are happening behind the scenes and how we're all in this big trap and whatever, everybody. And it happened through Facebook and people through Facebook and reading all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God, is that true? And it just built up to the point where I thought, oh, my gosh, look at all this stuff that's going on in the world that I didn't know and how bad it is. And, oh, my God, our world and, oh, and I have kids in this world and all this stuff, just runaway train. When you chase those, it's not that they were lies, but when you look for the lies instead of the truth. So how did I flip that situation and get back to the truth that Christ was always telling me to find? I calmed down. I just started searching for better food instead of worrying about all the bad food I ate. There's nothing I could do about that now. I started reading articles by some of the best thinkers in the world because I knew that they were just explaining things, not attacking. I educated myself through a different route, a route where people were searching for truth and writing about them and discovering them through curiosity rather than through anger or fear. Because if you're reading an article or a book written by somebody who has fear, doubt, worry, control, or guilt, anger, all of that, you are going to pick up that energy, and that's what you're going to exchange energy with. And there's people who find all of those because they're operating from there. It doesn't mean they're bad. It just means they don't know what they don't know yet. And if you read something that's written with purity, with love, with that kind of intention behind it, you will pick that up. The beauty of reading books is the great, quiet energy exchange that continues between the two of you. The person who wrote its energy comes alive. I remember when I first wrote Origins of Truth and people would go, oh, my God, that's a big book. I'd go, yeah, it is, almost like I'm apologizing. And I was trying to make it smaller. That book came out of 1,500 pages of text. Outlined, it was done in three colors, the fluorescent blue, the fluorescent orange, and the yellow. And the yellow was what for sure we published. The orange was the question mark, and the blue was definitely no. Because it mentioned names and whatever. But one thing I did say to people was, if you get this book, you don't even have to open it. Just put it on a table in your bedroom. There is enough love in that book to fill your room. Because I knew what went into that book. I knew why it was written. That book did that to me. Every time I was in the deepest hole, the biggest trouble. I had a husband with cancer, fighting the effects of cancer on his body. I had 6 children, 4 of which I did not know, who weren't very nice to me. I had an ex who wasn't nice to me and another one who loved me. And I had my kids and my ex who was all upset. And in the busiest, poorest time of my entire life, I wrote a 1,500-page book because I was exchanging energy with Christ, which can only propel. That's how big energy is. If I just decided to write a book in that time and I didn't have that impetus behind me, that truth behind me, I could not have sustained that. If I wanted to write a book because my ego wanted to be an author, I would never have finished the book because I would have used that book to identify me. But honestly, I was being identified through the book. So what happens to anyone who reads that book? They also become identified through reading the book. There's people now who see my quotes who don't even know I write books. Because in my mind, I feel like Christ wrote those books. When people ask me what I do, I sometimes pause. I don't know what to say. That's why I ask everybody, what do I do? What do you think I do? And the only thing I do, honestly, is operate from a place of love because that's all I now know. So when I exchange that, that's what we're all getting. And when we all are getting it from each other, it grows a strength. If I got on the show every day and talked about everything that wasn't working and everything bad that happened and everything bad that everybody did, this show, I don't think it could have made it this long, but you can talk about love forever. When I used to sit and write, and I used to go, oh my God, Christ, what more can I write about love? And I'd get up 3 pages single spaced later, and in the middle of the night. But the best was being woken up in the middle of the night to do that, because nothing was able to get in my way. There's a method to the madness. Home now is no big secret. But I do have another question. It is from Maria Mariachi. I like saying that name. For Friday's show, she said, I was wondering, could you explain the quote from Origins of Truth? I don't understand it fully. Thank you. The soul will learn more in the first 21 months of existence than at any other time in human life on Earth. The first 21 months that we are living, that we come through our parents, our mother, through the womb, and we lay in that little bed or wherever they put us because we can't move yet, is when we are learning the most. We are taking in the energy. It's all we know how to do. We look like we're sleeping all the time and just eating. But that's where our, like I want to say, the hotbed of us learning love, security, attachment. Because we come as pure love. But then however we are treated from the moment we come out, those first 21 months, we set a blueprint of the personality to deal with the world that we are going to live in is formed. So our brain is taking in, that's why we're quiet, We only cry, we only, you know, for our basic needs. When we need to eat, when our body hurts because maybe our diaper wasn't changed long enough, when we might have gas because our system is trying to clear itself, when we catch a cold and have an ear infection because our tubes don't work yet completely, they don't drain yet. All we can do is lay there. We're under the mercy of whoever just had us. How we love, our level of security, how our needs were met. Did we feel alone? Did we feel like nobody was taking care of us? Did we cry a lot? Didn't we? Did we teach ourselves to walk? Did somebody else? Did we teach ourselves to talk? Did somebody else? Were we listening? Weren't we? Did we wait a long time? Didn't we? We learn, we form, and we create the blueprint we will draw from for the rest of our lives. How many times have you heard somebody say, "I don't know why I do that"? You know, I do that all the time. I don't even know why I do that. I think that all the time. I don't know why I think that. You go to the house of a daughter of a mother who might live across the country or even across the world, yet the habits in the kitchen are the same. The way the house is cleaned are the same. The way the towels are folded are the same. Because from that blueprint, we also added in the visuals once we were old enough to understand why. It's the same thing we do with the blueprint that we have on how we love. We are an exchange of the energy of the people who bring us here, of the family that we chose to be with. We made a decision to see the world that way through them by exchanging energy with them from the moment we are in conception, because now it's two people in one body, and it's the only time it happens is during pregnancy. Can't put the kid back once it's over. The kid has to come out. The baby has to be born. It's really interesting, those first 21 months. Sometimes when babies get too much love, too much cuddling, don't do anything on their own, and then we get mad at the child for feeling entitled. Sometimes when they don't get enough, they feel entitled. Some can attach, some can't. Some completely detach from the people around them and want to do their own thing, and they're like 3 years old. They're funny. Some are real quiet in the beginning, so their basics are set. Then they're like a wild nut, if it's a boy usually, jumping off of things, and because they don't have boundaries and they don't have limits yet. Not yet. So those first 21 months of existence is when you learn the most you will ever learn. The way we are wired, it's how we come here, it's what goes in. I don't know how many of you have noticed that when a child is born and they're brand new to Earth, all kids smell the same. And it's such a pleasing, warm, beautiful smell. I guess you can't call it smell, a scent. They have a scent. But that's the scent of home. That's why people are so attracted to children and people cannot get over the fact that, wow, you had a baby. It is a miracle every single time. Every single time. You guys, the weekend is coming. I will see you on Monday morning. Take a look at the summit. We're starting now to feed it. We've got 2 months left. I can't wait for it to happen. I'm going to put some things up where you click through to the site, and we've just kind of filled it all in now, and we're working on it. So take a look at it. I love you guys, and I will see you Monday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.